Appreciate all of you being here tonight, and our prayers are with the other groups that are meeting this evening, and we are excited to continue on our Bible study tonight in Mark. So please open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Not that anybody has said anything, because they haven't to me, but I am intentionally not using any of the projection capabilities that we have on these evenings, because I would prefer for us to all have a Bible in hand and study together that way. And you may say, well, I didn't bring a Bible with me. There is one in the pew back system in front of you. You can grab that and follow along. And if you don't have a Bible, you can take that with you as our gift to you this evening. Tonight, I'd like to talk to you about a message titled God's Word in Our World, coming from Mark chapter 4. I'm really excited about this message tonight, because we're talking about one of the most easy to understand passages in the Bible. Though it is easy to understand, the challenge is living it. This is the parable of the farmer and the sower and the soils. Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. I will be reading this evening from the Contemporary English Version. The next time Jesus taught beside Lake Galilee, a big crowd gathered. It was so large that he had to sit in a boat out on the lake while people stood on the shore. Verse 2. He used stories to teach them many things, and this is part of what he taught. Now listen, a farmer went out to scatter seed in a field. And while the farmer was scattering the seed, some of it fell along the road and was eaten by birds. Other seeds fell on thin, rocky ground and quickly started growing because the soil wasn't very deep. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and dried up because they did not have enough roots. Some other seeds fell where thorn bushes grew up and choked out the plants, so they did not produce any grain. But a few seeds did fall on good ground, where the plants grew and produced 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as was scattered. Verse 9, then Jesus said, if you have ears, pay attention. Oh Lord, help us this night with this word, applying it to our hearts. Most of all, Lord, I pray you would give us the courage to stir up hard ground even in our own lives, to keep the soil fertile for the seed, for the word of God. And oh God, most of all, I pray that we wouldn't just be good soil for our own sakes, but we would produce fruit, Lord, for the world. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus said, if you have ears, pay attention. Now, I find this interesting, because if you were reading this as a child, which my children and I have read this parable before, this story that Jesus tells. By the way, Jesus is teaching to a crowd of people that probably aren't taking notes like we encourage you to do sometimes with a little sermon outline. He is teaching in a way that they can remember. And he says, if you have ears, pay attention. My kids, I said, well, what do you guys think this scripture means? If you have ears, pay attention. And they, of course, all grabbed their physical ears. Well, Dad, we have ears. That's why we're supposed to listen. But I want to tell you, my friend, Jesus is not talking about your physical ears. He is talking about our spiritual ears and the soil of our souls. So, What is he getting at? What does it look like? What does it look like if you don't have spiritual ears? The parable of the soils is like the parable of our souls. It's easy to understand, but difficult to apply. But this is probably the most fundamental and foundational parable or story of Jesus' teaching, this parable of the four soils. Very clearly, I want to state to you before we jump into this, we are the soil. Jesus is the sower, and his words are the seeds. Now, of course, by extension, as we spread the gospel, we are also sowing seeds. But we have to make sure that we, first of all, come back to the main character of the scripture is God himself. It's not us, it's God. It is a revelation of God. He is the farmer sowing his seeds. His word is the seed. But as we all know tonight, all four soils are in you and me, aren't they? Have we not all been stubborn and hard ground at times? Have we not all caught on to a word before and it seemed to spring up quickly but yet wither spiritually when hard times come? Have you ever sensed, please don't raise your hand or anything, just want you to answer this internally, have you ever felt choked spiritually? Like the life was just being choked out of you? I know I have. The four different soils, the four different responses of God's word. The first one is this. It's the hard ground, the pathway, your Bible, your scriptures might say. In verses 13 through 15, Jesus goes on to explain this passage. Jesus told them, if you don't understand the story, you won't understand any others. You see, what the farmer is spreading is really the message about the kingdom. Verse 15, the seeds that fell along the road are the people who hear the message, but Satan soon comes and snatches it away from them. So the problem that this particular ground has is that there's no receptivity. That's the problem. There's no receptivity. Now, let me be very clear. It isn't Satan who is preventing the person from receiving God's word. It is the hard soil that is resisting the seed. And then Satan, evidently there's a spiritual dynamic here in this parable. In this parable, Jesus says Satan comes and steals away the seeds. Now, I heard an older preacher, and I like to listen to sermons. That's been something that I've done practically all my life. I'm back in the day when, you know, you had to order tapes from places. Even as a young man, Bible college or anything, I started ordering sermons just to listen to sermons. And I got into Bible college at Central Bible College, and tapes were still in at that point. And I collected and cataloged a just entire library of sermons. And I would always get the sermons from chapel services and everything. And I remember an older preacher preaching about this passage one time, and he actually had a cane. And I knew he had a cane because of the way he applied this scripture. He was saying, you know, he was getting so fired up about Satan coming and the birds. He would say, the devil birds come and take the seed of the word of God. And he evidently picked up this cane and started going, psh, psh, psh. He goes, you got to shoot down the devil birds. And I'll never forget that. And this just seared into my mind. This old preacher shooting down the devil birds. That'll stick with you. You'll be thinking about that tonight, my friend. But it is funny, but it is true. Satan will come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes, Jesus comes, to give life and life more abundantly. You know what I'm just fascinated by is I think a scripture that goes hand in hand with this, and it's a proverb. It says the fool despises wisdom. The fool despises wisdom. Have you ever known somebody or in your own life been in a place where your life where you just kind of put up your hand and you said, I don't want to hear it. I want to feel better about my situation, but I don't want to have any wisdom. I don't want to know any answers. I've got it together. I've just got to get through this. And you almost came across as resistant to any word, to any seed. That is not a casual manner as it relates to the Christ follower. We have to have a receptive heart. Because when the ground is hard, the soil cannot be penetrated, there's no receptivity, and the enemy can come and steal that word. That's the hard ground. The second kind of ground is the rocky ground. Verses 16 and 17 says this. The seeds that fell on rocky ground are the people who gladly hear the message and accept it right away. But they don't have any roots, and they don't last very long. As soon as life gets hard or the message gets them in trouble, they give up. So in the hard ground, the problem is there's no receptivity. But in the rocky ground, the problem is that there are no roots. There are no roots that have been developed in a person's life. That's the problem. You see, the word is evidently received and accepted, but it doesn't go deep. It does not, there are no roots really put down. No depth was made after the word was received. And don't you find it interesting that the Bible says when trouble or persecution comes because of the word? Isn't that an interesting description? Because of the word, the people only last a short while. You know what? That's a lesson for all of us. You know, let's just be honest. None of us like hardships. None of us like hardships. We want every day to be enjoyable. We desire for our work to be significant and satisfying. We want our marriages to be and family to be wholesome and fun. We want people to like us. And we typically do not prepare for difficulties. And I want to ask you, as it relates to following Christ, how does one prepare for difficulties? Well, I think from this parable, we clearly see the answer is that we have to develop a root system. We have to go deep. And sometimes when we get a hold of something and it springs to life in us, but we do not take the time to develop a root system. There's a friend of mine who, when he first got saved here, right here in the church, he kind of came from a pretty rough background, and he asked me if I would meet with him to do some discipleship. And I said I would love to. And we met every week for about 10 weeks together. Right before a Wednesday night service, we were in one of our small classrooms, and we would just get together and we would meet and we would work through the Bible. He had a lot of questions. And what I found fascinating is this person is still, he's serving the Lord passionately today. He and his wife are a part of this church. It's amazing. But I think the difference between him and one of his friends that came to know the Lord at the same time, he is still in the church, but they are not. And they are not serving the Lord right now, to the best of my knowledge. The difference is this. He developed a root system. And he has been through persecution and fire. And it's like the roots keep going deeper and deeper. And my friend, if you are in the middle, or you know someone who is in the middle of some persecution or trouble or whatever it may be, some hardship, the answer is not to get happier. The answer is to get deeper, grounded in the Lord. I felt like this past week, I was frankly a little discouraged about something for a few days this week. And I was seeking the Lord, and I was wanting, truthfully, I just was telling the Lord, Lord, I need your encouragement. I want to feel better about this situation. I need to see some light at the end of the tunnel. And I'm telling you, I mean, you guys probably have a better relationship with the Lord than I do, because I feel like the Lord will come in sometimes and just go, shmack, you know, in a loving way, that is, in a loving way. But just, he put the brakes on me. He said, you don't need to be praying for encouragement. You need wisdom. And I tell you, my friend, sometimes we're praying for a better feeling, and what God wants for us is deeper roots, discernment, wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And that's what can transform our perspective sometimes. And sometimes we sort of exalt feelings. We just want the skin to feel better, and Jesus wants our roots to be deeper. So Jesus speaks of trouble that arises from embracing him, and I dare not pass this scripture by without saying this, that oftentimes the trouble you face, especially as a new Christian, is caused by the fact that you have embraced Christ. And if that's you, my friend, I, I can relate so much to that. I was accused of everything. When I got saved, I really got saved. I walked away from all of my old friends because, frankly, they were not good influences on me. I walked away from them. I tried to get new friends. This is in the middle of high school. I grew up with most of these guys and played football with them and everything. I was accused of being in a cult. I broke up with all of the wrong girlfriends, and I didn't date for a while. I was accused of just being crazy and losing it and everything else. What's interesting, though, is it was still a joy. I knew why I was these things were happening to me. And if you've ever been in that situation where you are being persecuted or going through hardships because of the message you've received, I always think about God always gives the grace in proportion to whatever you're going through, and He's going to get you through, my friend. And you know what? This church is a very special church to me, and because not just of who we are, where we're located, or the name on our sign, but because of the content of our character. And I have seen time and time again, you in this room and others that have taken people underneath their arm, and you've done a lot of right things, because you know what? Part of this root development is our responsibility with our brother and sister who comes to Christ. They should not be alone on their path. God has called us to go into all the world and make disciples, okay? So that is part of our call, and walking alongside, accepting people for who they are. You know what? They might be a little rough around the edges. We accept them for who they are. But you know what? We also aren't afraid to hold them accountable. And I tell you, my friend, I love people deeply. I didn't grow up in the church. I have a lot of sympathy toward people like that. But I want to tell you, it's okay to tell people you ought not to do that. And I remember telling somebody, and don't get me started on this. I don't want to come across, I don't need the legalism emails and everything else. But I'm telling you, I was counseling a friend one time, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, ask him what kind of music he's listening to. And I said, I just want to ask you, my brother, what kind of music are you listening to? And he started listing off some of the artists that I'm aware of and songs. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, this guy's got to get off of that diet, if you know what I mean. He's listening to the wrong things. And sometimes we think that that is somehow legalism to tell a person that they ought not to be giving that kind of input. And that's not legalism. That's wisdom, my friend. Listen, if you want to get out of some darkness, sometimes you got to stop letting darkness in through listening to them. And that's not legalism, that's wisdom, okay? Now, we're not telling you you got to do all this list in order to get to heaven. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about growing and being free to grow in Christ. A lot of people are bound up by things. It won't cost them a dollar to get free to grow in Christ. But, you know, that's part of what we do. We accept them. We hold people accountable. That's okay to do. And we affirm them. We give them encouragement. The third kind of ground is this, the thorny ground. So we've seen the hard ground. We've seen the rocky ground. But there's also the thorny ground. The seeds that fell among the thorn bushes are also people who hear the message. But they start worrying about the needs of this life. They are fooled by the desire to get rich, to have all kinds of other things. So the message gets choked out and they never produce anything. So the problem here isn't that there isn't receptivity, for they have received the word. And evidently there has been some sort of roots, because the seed has been received, the roots are being developed. But what is the problem here? If it's not receptivity or roots, the problem here is that there is no room. There is no room. The desires of this life, the deceit of wealth, the worries of this life are choking the spiritual life out of you. What an image. To lose the very spiritual breath that you have and it be choked out. You see, the word is received, but it's choked out. It chokes the word, making the believer unfruitful. I believe this is a person who is a follower of Christ, but they are not seeing any fruit, according to the scriptures. I think it's an interesting way to remember this, the choking hazards, okay? I've got kids, and there are choking hazards, and we know where they are, and we've gotten them out of the house and everything else. Here are the choking hazards to spiritual life. Worries. What are worries? This is to worry is to be obsessed with future events. It's obsessed with the future. And we know that because Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. In fact, and even the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, the prayer he gave us, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Tomorrow we'll have all the things, all the worries and everything. Tomorrow is tomorrow. And you know what? I really love the passage in James, I believe it's chapter 1 or 2, where he says, we shouldn't be overly concerned about the future. We should respond by saying, Lord willing. Because Lord willing, we will see tomorrow. But none of us in this room know if we will. So you know what? Lord, give me this day my daily bread. And that's the worries that choke us out. The deceitfulness of wealth. It's interesting, it's not wealth. It's the deceitfulness of wealth. The deceitfulness of wealth is a security blanket for today. And what God is saying is, you cannot let wealth be your security blanket. He is our security. He is our rock and our refuge. That's not just a nice metaphor. That's the truth, my friend. Because I don't know about you, I've known enough people in my life where I've seen their wealth vanish in a matter of days. And houses get foreclosed on, and property gets seized, and it vanishes like that. And the deceitfulness of wealth is that I have my security in my checkbook. But you know what? That will choke the spiritual life right out of us. Because there's no room. And then what about the wants, the desires? You have worries, you have wealth, deceitfulness of wealth, and you have the wants. And I find this interesting because the desires of this world is kind of akin to immediate gratification. You get drowned in a sea of just wants. Like, all I can do is think about acquiring something else. And that's why we like to encourage people to be generous, because generosity kind of turns us focused on giving, not just receiving, collecting, hoarding, and having like that. Because what happens is, when this happens in the thorny ground, there's no room for anything. So there's no room in our schedules. There's no room in our checkbooks. We're choking on wants and desires, drowning in a sea of want. And there's no room for God to produce fruit in our life. That's the issue here, is there's no room for you to be fruitful in your spiritual life because the thorns are growing up and choking things out. Just a piece of advice that I give some people and are working through this sometimes is to make a bucket list. You know what a bucket list is, right? Some things you want to do before you kick the bucket. What a nice way to remember that. Anyway, I didn't come up with that. But anyway, so get a bucket list or a goal list or something like that. I don't want to be overly practical or sound overly practical, but I believe this is really a help. Get yourself a short list of goals. Of not things that you want to do, but things you want to become in Christ. Have you ever sat down to think about, what do I want to be known for at the end of my life? That's called having a spiritual vision. We talk about church vision, and there are books written on vision and everything else. You know what? Let's just ask yourself, what kind of man or woman of God do you want to be? What kind of man or woman of God do you want to become? And make that list. And you know what? If you don't have anything left on your list that you're trying to become, you need to start over and get another list. God is always wanting us to grow. He's always wanting us to develop in Him. Because that leads me to this fourth soil. And that's the challenge for us all. And it is being good ground. The seeds that fell on good ground are the people who hear and welcome the message. They produce 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as was planted. There are people, my friend, who are ready to receive the word. I believe that's you tonight. I really do. I believe that's you, my friends. I've got, dear people that I love in this church, and they seem hungry after God. It seems like every time they read a passage, they may have read it before, but they're ready to read it again and ask the Lord to give them fresh eyes and new seeds planted in their life. And what I find interesting about this parable is that if Jesus is the sower, if he's the farmer, he doesn't just sow the word in what he knows will only produce fruit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I might be hard ground, but Jesus is still sowing the seed. You might be rocky ground, but Jesus is still sowing the seed. Hey, thank God he took a risk on us, right?
Yes.
He sows the seed. And our jobs is to be soil that's ready to receive, put down roots, and grow in him. And I want to tell you, my friend, you can't judge a person whether or not they're... I've tried to judge. I've tried to say, you know what, that person is ready to receive, something. They're going to grow. They're going to be a fruitful person. And you can't do it. You just can't do it. I tell you, one time there was a couple here, and I asked if I could share their story, and they gave me permission. But there's a couple here named Aaron and Shelley, and I love them, and they're a young couple. And several months ago back, they were going through a difficult time in their marriage, and he was driving truck for Prime, and she was staying at home. And Aaron got himself into some relationship problems on the road, and just started wanting out of this marriage. One night, Shelley came to me, and she came up to me on a Wednesday night. She's just in tears. She said, "I don't know what to do, but my husband has said he has a lawyer. He wants out, and he wants out now." And I want to tell you, my friend, I had been working at that point in my own life. I had been working with several couples in the church, and I had walked through a handful of couples that had gone through a divorce and things like that. And frankly, I was not very encouraged by what I was hearing. And for whatever reason, when she said he had a lawyer, it like pushed an anger button in me a little bit. And she said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, you probably ought to get yourself a lawyer." That's my first comment to her. And I know that's not I'm not very proud that I said that. I'm just sharing the story to say this, that I talked with her, and listened to her, and I said, "I don't know." And frankly, I was not very hopeful. But I have learned through the years that you don't give up on somebody. So as bad as I was feeling at that time, I said, "Before you go, let's pray." And gathered my thoughts, and we prayed together for some time. We prayed that the seed of the Word of God would be planted in their... I still remember this, that the seed of the Word of God, that there is everything Aaron and Shelley need are found through a relationship with Jesus. Everything they need. And no kidding, folks, she came back 2 weeks later. Honestly, I had already sent her a list of attorneys in town and everything else. She came back 2 weeks later, and she goes, "You will not believe what happened." And I'm sitting there with my mouth wide open going, "You got to be kidding me." And she said, "He has repented. He has quit his job and asked for a transfer. He's no longer driving truck. He's staying home. And guess what? He's here tonight. He walks through the door, Bible in hand, and he's been at our Wednesday night Bible studies ever since, my friend." And God can do it, my friend. I'm telling you, the seed of the Word of God, you don't know. You never know. But when it goes into ready soil, It doesn't have to be flashy. It doesn't have to be fancy. But when it takes root, it will spring up and give life, and it can save people, my friend. That's what the gospel is. It's life-transforming power. That's the kind of God that we serve. That's the kind of word that we're talking about here. We're not just talking about, you know, helpful hints along the path of life. We're talking about the word of God that can transform us. Do you believe that, my friend? Do you believe that? And he can transform your life tonight. So the same soils are in you and me. Sometimes we're not receptive at all to what the Lord desires in our lives. At other times, we quickly embrace God's will. But at first sign of adversity, we wither spiritually. Other occasions, we all get distracted. We lose out. But thankfully, we all have the capacity to be good soil, ready to receive God's word. I want to ask you tonight, is there any part of your life that's not receiving God's word? Is there any part of your life that it needs to go deeper and develop roots? Maybe you feel like you're being choked out. There's no room for God's fruit to be produced in your life. Is the soil of your heart unreceptive ground? Is the soil of your life, is it choked out by all of the desires and the wants, the deceitfulness of wealth? The worries of this life. What kind of things do maybe the weeds do you need to pull out? What kind of rocks do you need to dig in there and say, okay, I got to get rid of that. It's just choking. It might not be bad. It might not be keeping you out of heaven, but it's keeping you unfruitful. And that's not God's plan for you. That's not God's plan for you. He wants you to be fruitful, my friend. So I want to challenge you tonight. This is an incredibly simple passage of Scripture to understand. But it is foundational to being free to grow in Christ. Oh Lord, we come to you this evening. We thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, it is powerful when it is planted. It is powerful. But Lord, when it is planted in good soil, it will produce fruit. Oh Lord, we don't... It seems very clear, Lord, that we're not the fruit producers. You are. But God, it is our responsibility. It is our relationship, stewardship with you to be good soil. Forgive us, Lord, if we've let rocks and weeds and thorns be a part of the soul of our lives. And God, I pray by your Spirit tonight for every man and woman in this room, young and old, that God, you'd give us the courage to do the hard work of purifying this soil so that we'll be good soil and that we'll produce fruit for the rest of our days. Oh God, would you grant it, I pray. Would you grant it, I pray. I want to encourage you right now, my friend, just where you are, would you turn where you are right now into an altar? And would you trust the Lord right now? Would you press in and ask him to search your heart? And if there be anything wicked, Lord, would you trust him right now, my friend, to pluck that out, to discard of it so that you are free to grow in Christ? Oh, would you do that right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We turn our hearts, Lord, to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, do your work, oh God. Do your work, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Till up the soil, Lord. Break up the hard ground. Pull the weeds. Burn away, Lord, all the thorns. Burn away, Lord, all the impurities, Jesus. Have your way, oh God. Have your way, oh Jesus. Maybe you're here this evening and you would like to take a step of faith. And I know it is our custom to come to these altars, but tonight, I just wanted to delay us a moment because I felt like in my heart all week that there's somebody here, maybe it's all of us, that we need to take a step of faith. And we need to believe the Lord for a new season of fruitfulness. You can't help but to think that God, and know that God wants us to be fruitful. And I want to ask you, my friend, if you're here tonight and you'd like to see that new season of fruitfulness, would you give the Lord a moment tonight by stepping forward, coming to these altars, and letting Him plant the seed of His Word into your life? We don't have any live music tonight, but that's neither here nor there. I just want to invite you, if that's you tonight, to come forward, find a place to pray tonight. Believe the Lord would honor your faith tonight. God bless you.